This morning's gospel reading is one of those passages that arouse mixed feelings. On the one hand, admiration at the radical nature of Jesus' commandments. And on the other hand, gloom, because he is setting the bar so high. And we cannot possibly act in the way that he tells us to. If someone took your coat, would you give them your jumper too, or your scarf? If someone hit you, would you just let them hit you again? Well, we might reasonably ask if Jesus is asking us to do anything that he didn't do himself. That's fair enough, isn't it? So we will take a look at Luke's portrait of Jesus, because each gospel gives us a different aspect of Jesus' character. And we'll see if Jesus walked the walk. We'll see if he is, as the modern word expresses it, authentic. And then we will see what this tells us about the nature of God. Luke's gospel is generally thought to be addressed mainly to Gentiles, that's us. He shows that Jesus comes out of a rich Jewish tradition, but that he reaches out to the wider world. You remember what Simeon said in the temple when he had the baby Jesus in his arms, and he said he would be, in the old translation, he said he would be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. That's what he said. And it's only Luke that records that. Later on, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, not the good Jew, the Good Samaritan. And then there's the story of the one leper out of the 10 who were healed. The one that was a Samaritan comes back and says, "Thank you." Luke, therefore, we can see, portrays Jesus as a universal saviour. Even all that time ago, he can see that Jesus is for the whole world, just as Simeon saw it. Luke portrays Jesus as a loving and caring person. You will see that if you try reading that gospel. A loving and caring person who pays special attention to poor or marginalized people. For example, remember Jesus' story of the great banquet when the invited guests all make excuses. That's the theme of this year's World Day of Prayer. And Matthew tells that story too, but in Luke's version of Jesus' parable, the master of the house is angry when his invited guests make all those excuses, and he ordered his servant to bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame to enjoy the banquet. You'll also see, if you read Luke's gospel, that Jesus spends much time in prayer, especially when he has big decisions to make. He was in prayer at the beginning of the chapter that our reading came from, because he was going to select his 12 apostles, and he prayed before he did that. In Luke's gospel, you'll find that he acknowledges, Luke sees that Jesus acknowledges the value and importance of women There are women there all through the gospel. There were women there when he was on the cross. There were women there all the time. You can see also that although Jesus lived a simple life, he enjoyed the celebration and knows how to enjoy good company. And you will also see, as you see in all four Gospels, that Jesus had great courage. He wasn't really interested in worldly goods. He lived the life of a traveling rabbi, a teacher, with a group of supporters, both men and women. Although he did enjoy a good feast and good company, he didn't seem to have much in the way of worldly possessions. When he sent his missionaries out, he sent them with very little supplies. They had to depend on God to find them food and shelter. So let's look at what Jesus says in our gospel reading. There are two things, really. First, he speaks of loving your neighbour. Now, in Leviticus, you would find that it says, Leviticus gives you the old rules, the old laws of the Jewish people. It says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. So they were only required to love other Jewish people like themselves. Well, that may sometimes have been a challenge. Modern views might be, if I ask my family, most of whom are not Christian, they would say, well, you should do as you would be done by. I wonder if any of you remember Mrs. Do As You Would Be Done By. I see one or two smiles there. In my picture book of the water babies, there was this expansive looking lady with a box of treasures, and she was Mrs. Do As You Would Be Done By. I always felt that she was suspect because she was only kind to people because she wanted them to be kind to her. Jesus goes so much further. He tells us to love all kinds of people, even our enemies. There is no hint of self-interest there. He gives us several examples of loving your enemy, doing good to those who hate you, not retaliating when they mistreat you or abuse you, being generous with your possessions, lending them money when you don't expect them to pay you back. So that's the one quality, loving your neighbour, loving your enemies as well. The other quality to which Jesus refers in our reading is mercy. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So let's think about how Jesus himself lives up to these high standards. Does he demonstrate these qualities of radical love and mercy in the way he lives? Now, I'm sure some of you have already thought of a good example. And it's not actually in Luke's gospel, it's actually in John's gospel, when the teachers of the law bring a woman who's been caught in adultery and sets her in front of Jesus and says, now, our law says she should be stoned. What do you say? And you remember what happens. He sort of draws in the dust, he thinks. And then he says, whoever among you is without sin can throw the first stone. and they gradually melt away. And you remember, eventually, there's only Jesus and the woman left. And he says to her, well, look, they've all gone. Did any of them condemn you? No, sir, she says. She must have been astonished by what had happened. Neither do I condemn you, says Jesus. Go your way and sin no more. It's a wonderful and dramatic example of Jesus showing people how not to condemn. Luke's gospel is full of Jesus' encounters with all sorts of people whom he cared for and healed. Nobody, however poor and socially excluded, was beyond the reach of his healing love and power. He also encountered his enemies all through the gospel. And he was never submissive to his critics and his enemies. He engaged with their questions and he gave them answers. And they often didn't like his answers at all, but he gave them. The best examples of his attitude to his enemies are to be found in the story of Jesus' passion and crucifixion. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's about to be arrested, one of the disciples strikes the servant of the high priest and cuts off his ear. And Jesus says, in our translation, no more of this, and he heals the servant. Later, when Jesus is being crucified, he asks God to forgive the workmen who are fixing him on the cross. Imagine that. In the midst of his pain, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus was by no means a passive victim. He chose his path, and his path led to crucifixion. He knew what he was doing, and it required courage. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus said he laid down his life for his sheep. Jesus, by his words and by his life, shows us the way to find true happiness and real fulfillment. It is true that he sets the bar high for us, but that's the way to achieve results. You aim high, and then you have some success. Now, you heard at the end of that passage, Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure that you receive, you get back. This takes me straight back to the world of Joseph and his brothers in our first reading. Because that was all about food, and you can imagine, I remember in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, all those sacks of food that they took away with them. Joseph's generous forgiveness of his brothers He didn't complain at them once. He even gave them a let out by saying, because of what they did, he was able to get to be in charge of Pharaoh's riches. And so he was able to help them and their beloved father, Jacob. That was real generosity on Joseph's part. It reminds me of Boaz in the story of Ruth, giving Ruth 6 measures of barley, much more than she needed, to feed herself and Naomi. Joseph and Boaz, in their different ways, both mirror the generosity of God. That's why we celebrate the extravagant love of God in the town at Easter. When Jesus came into our world, he gave us a true picture of God. We need to keep that in our heart. If we don't hold the words of Jesus in our hearts and the picture he gave us, we can start to create our own idea of God. God in our own image. Maybe even a convenient God. One that doesn't demand too much. It's important to keep in our minds the true picture of God. Some people fall into the trap of imagining God as a vengeful and frightening figure. It is important for them too to hold in their mind the true picture which Jesus gives us. God is just, but also merciful. He is always seeking us, always loving us, whether we realize it or not. The challenge that Jesus gives us in this reading is a demanding one, but it comes along with Jesus' love. And we know that God will, by his Spirit, give us the strength and courage to follow in his way. So we're called to be generous. We're called to avoid being attached to our possessions and ready to give things away. We're called to be tolerant of others' weaknesses and not judge them. We're called to love not only our friends and families, but also strangers and even our enemies. All of this in our efforts to imitate our wonderful Saviour.